Hi, I'm John Bohannon.
I'm Richard Stone.
And we're here in Science's Beijing Bureau after seeing the solar eclipse that happened August 1st. I joined a team of scientists in Western Mongolia, where the center of the moon's shadow passed through the Gobi Desert. Rich caught the eclipse just minutes later to the south of us in Western China. So, Rich, why did you chase the eclipse?
I came out with scientists from the Chinese Academy of Sciences who had set up a lot of equipment. It was difficult at first to get access to the scientists. I had to really fight with the police who were guarding the scientific compound.
You're a suspicious-looking character in general, but why do you think particularly they wouldn't let you on the site? Were they doing something sensitive?
No. They just had orders, and they were not initially persuaded that a writer from Science magazine should be allowed access to these to the little compound.
How did you get in the end?
Well, it took quite a bit of arguing, and finally a call from the governor of the province to the police chief, who then ordered his men to let this one journalist in.
What kind of data were the Chinese researchers seeking?
They were mostly focused on the corona. It's a rare opportunity to see the corona with your naked eye. So usually the corona is in the shadow, so to speak, of all the energy coming from the solar disk. It's a millionth as bright as the sun. So this is a rare opportunity to really see the structure of the corona, look at the plumes that extend way out from the sun.
One of the scientists from the Mongolian team is right here with us. Katrin Kohlenberg is an astrophysicist at the University of Vienna in Austria.
Hello.
Katrin, what are some of the questions that scientists want to answer about the corona?
The corona has a temperature of 2 million degrees, and the solar surface has a temperature of about 6,000 degrees Kelvin. So one of the questions about the sun and the corona is, why is it so much hotter?
But we still don't understand what heats it up.
No, there are some speculations, but so far no proof.
What was the scene like down there, Rich, after you solved your police problem and the eclipse was about to happen?
The most exciting part for me was as the shadow of the eclipse approached, the sky to the northwest darkened so quickly. And as that was happening, it was like a fast motion sunset. There was a cheer going up from the crowd of Chinese who had gathered there. They could see the eclipse shadow coming too. And so there was they were roaring and they were so excited. And then when the total eclipse occurred, there was the bright flash, and then the moon and then the moon perfectly covered the sun. And then it was all quiet. There was no more cheering. People were just in awe. They were stunned.
Did you get a wind? Let me rephrase that. Did a wind pick up where you were?
I didn't sense any wind, no, because it was already windy there. But what kind of wind did you experience?
On our site, a wind picked up just as the eclipse was starting, and apparently that's a very typical phenomenon.
Yeah, it was already a bit windy, but the wind picked up much, much more strongly.
What actually causes that?
Is the cooling down of the atmosphere.
And then it remixes, which is what the wind is.
Mm-hmm, exactly. However, decreases in wind speed have also been observed.
One thing that amazes me is that the phenomenon itself, when you explain it, seems so trivial in a way. It's a shadow. It's just a big shadow. And yet, even knowing that, I found the experience sort of, well, in the moment, a bit overwhelming, just because of the scale of it.
I thought it was a very special moment. I felt so lucky. And in fact, there's going to be another total eclipse in China next year, and I'm definitely planning on seeing it. I also understood from one of the scientists there that the moon, the orbit of the moon, is gradually increasing. So it's getting further and further from Earth. In several centuries, there will be no more total eclipse. We are lucky to be able to witness them.
Exactly, yeah. That's the thing that makes me appreciate it even more. On this planet, we are really lucky to have something like a total eclipse.
It's just a coincidence, isn't it, that the apparent diameter of the moon, because of its distance from us, exactly matches the apparent diameter of the sun, and that's what gives rise to the eclipse.
That's a big coincidence, yeah.
So how many eclipses does that leave us? If we have a few centuries and, you know, if you never leave your home and it only occurs maybe once or twice a century in the same place, then we're talking about something on order of a dozen eclipses for every person on Earth, wherever they live. Rich, you're the expert.
I'm calculating.
Yeah, well, it depends on how mobile the people are, because we are very lucky we can travel there. If we would not be able to leave Europe or wherever we live. We might just see one in a lifetime.
You think that with gas prices rising and oil depleting, maybe in a few decades, nobody will be flying anywhere. You may not have a chance to see another eclipse in your lifetime.
Unless you walk there. True.
Yeah. Well, we know when the next eclipses are going to happen. We can predict it very accurately. So if you start walking in time, you'll get there.
That's a lot of walking for some eclipses.
Yes.
Or swimming, in fact.
Also.
Okay. This is John Bohannon for Science Magazine.
Richard Stone for Science Magazine.
Katrine Kohlenberg for...
Yourself.
Yes. And the University of Vienna.
We'll see you at the next eclipse. August 28th, 2008. Please note a correction to this report. The moon is indeed receding farther from the Earth year by year, and therefore there will be a last total solar eclipse, after which there will only ever be partial eclipses. But we have much more time than a few centuries, which was due to a miscalculation. In fact, the moon is drifting away at a rate of about an inch a year, and that gives us a comfortable billion more years of total eclipses. So don't worry.